So welcome to the show, ADHD Cast. What do you know? We got Yoshi in the house. Got more bounce to the ounce. Yeah, we got Cheech here, back from the tour. He's gotta tell some stories from the road. Yeah, what do you know? Please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. ADHD is the best you ever heard. What? That's all I got.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome back.
Welcome to ADHD.
And Yoshi's here.
Yoshi's here.
Welcome, Yoshi.
What's up, Yosh?
Thanks for having me on the show again.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
It's good to see you guys.
Yeah, same. Likewise. So every time you're in town, I just you want to come on the show. Obviously, it's a open invitation. We have nothing going on ever.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, we did. She just came back from a big tour, and
I want to hear about it.
I don't know if it was big. It was a tour.
Yeah, a 3-hour tour.
I went to. We started
off. It was a TMZ, one of those.
Yeah, it was a TMZ tour of LA. Saw the stars houses.
There you go.
No, I went to Northern California, Sacramento, Redding, Redwood City, Ashland, Oregon, Eugene, Oregon. I went all over fucking the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
Vancouver, Washington.
Wow.
Walla Walla, Washington.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you ever been to any of these places?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah. Because I still live in Washington State, so okay. Walla Walla and Ashland and all those places, of course, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Shit. Well, we the centerpiece of our tour was the Walla Walla Guitar Festival.
I see.
And it was whack.
What? Why is it whack?
I mean, we played at like a – it's a – the guy that I play with is this guy named Gino Mateo. And,
oh, Gino?
Yeah, Gino. He's known in the blues scene. Like, if you're nice. Into blues, which you're probably not because you're not 50 or 60.
Yeah.
He's pretty known because he traveled with this guy named Sugar Ray Rayford for a long time, who's like a kind of well-known blues act. And so
– I'm assuming he's black.
Sugar Ray Rayford is, okay, yeah. He's black. And
any sugar in someone's name?
Big black. Yeah.
Is that a really? Is that? I guess it is true, isn't it? Anytime I've seen anything
Sugar Ray.
Interesting because sugar is white.
Well, except for sugar. The band Sugar Ray is white.
No, but he should be brown sugar, don't you think?
Yeah, you're right.
That's true.
Molasses.
So he's kind of known up there a little bit in the blues circles. That's where we play. We would go to this city and then play for like this little city's blues society, then this little city's blues society. Nice. And the Walla Walla one, I was expecting, I was like, oh, this one's probably going to be pretty dope because it's a guitar festival.
Yeah. Sure.
Get there. It's literally at a VFW.
What's that?
Veterans Hall, you know, kind of spot.
Yeah.
And it was big and there's like, you know, like a good 100 or so people in there, but they're all like 60 or 70. I mean, but they liked it. It was a good show, but I was just expecting it to be a little bit nicer. But some of the places we played were really cool.
Your favorite?
Actually, the best one was in Redding, California. It was just a little bar, but it was just a good crowd, a lot of people there. And I mean, we just played a lot of little bars and stuff like that.
Sweet.
And it was cool. It was a good time. It was a lot of fucking driving.
I love Eugene and Ashland. That was Oregon. And
Ashland was super nice.
Yeah, they have a Shakespearean festival.
Yes.
Wow. And it's little before you hit state of California.
About these random spots.
Random, bro. It's America.
What's that? Yeah, they have like a Shakespeare festival every year because they have like a copy of the same theater that Shakespeare did his performances in.
Sure.
That's what they said.
And I think it's little before California border too, if I remember. It was right.
Right past the border.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place.
It really is. It's like a little ski town. So it's like very touristy.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
Nice.
Real clean. That was probably the coolest little town. Have you ever been to Birkenfield, Oregon though? I doubt you've been there. It's out of the middle of nowhere, dude.
I think we'd
It's like the north.
We drove by in like a gas station or something when we were going back.
I don't even think there's a gas station.
I know,
it's like in northwest is Oregon, and it's like, you know, the border of Washington goes across, and then it goes up. It's in that little corner.
Yeah,
and that was cool.
Is it off of 5 freeway?
No, I don't know. I think that one you gotta kind of leave the main freeway to get out there. But that place was really cool. It's this club that was out in the middle of the mountains.
Yeah.
And it's called the Burke. And it was actually really tight spot. Like, it's this guy's house out in the middle of nothing.
Right.
And but it's in his living room is like a bar.
Yeah.
And then he had like these apartment buildings in the back of his house. So we all got our own little apartment thing. And it was pretty dope. And we stayed there for like 3 or 4 days just chilling because we had, those were days off.
Yeah.
So we were just hanging out there in the middle of the forest, just fucking smoking weed and that's it.
Wow.
So there's nothing else to do.
Is that the further north that you've been up driving?
I've been up there once before with my family. We went to like, we stopped in Sacramento,
yeah.
Portland,
yeah.
Vancouver, and then up to Canada.
Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah, we went to Vancouver, Washington, then we went to
Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah. But that, you know, we just stopped at the big cities. We didn't stop on these little cities,
sure.
and stuff. So that was kind of the first time like really seeing like these little small towns out there. And it was weird because I mean, for the most part, I'm the only one with brown skin there. There's me and at all the shows, it's me and like one black guy. That's pretty much how it went in all of these shows.
Because those places you mentioned, especially like places like Ashland,
yeah,
that's really like natural habitat for white people. You know, you've like you've just so weird because there's places in Washington State like, wow, like I'm the black guy. You know, you know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly.
Oh, Native American when I had a longer hair, but. I just saw Colin Quinn's Red State, Blue State.
Yeah.
And he just finished the last show on Sunday. I saw it 3 times. And
wow.
It's an amazing story. And I hope Amazon or Audible, whoever it is, they put it online to you guys see it. But he said something really interesting. When you go 700 miles any direction,
mm-hmm.
people really have different personality.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
In Europe and places like that too, you know.
Wow.
And when you just stay in one area for too long, you don't go anywhere, you just don't realize, like, it's so different everywhere.
Yeah.
This is a really amazing country, you yeah. know?
It was very, it was very white.
Yes.
It's very white, at least the places I went, except for Redwood City, but that was in California.
Anyway. Yeah.
But everyone smokes weed there. It's totally different from here. It's like the young people, of course, you expect them to smoke
yeah.
weed here. But there, like, we stayed with this family in Ashland.
Yeah.
And, like, their whole family is just smoking weed together. The parents, the kids,
yeah.
they're all just smoking
it's
weed.
Medicine,
the whole time.
Bro. It's medicine.
And then the next house we go to, they're all smoking weed, growing their own weed. Then the
yeah.
next house, same thing. This dude at Birkenfield, he was growing his own weed. He
yeah.
was like,
is it better up there?
Making his own dabs and shit. I don't know. I smoked more on that tour than I ever smoked here.
Wow.
yeah, it's just a different – I mean, you just – everyone smokes it, like the old people,
sure.
everyone. It's, so that was interesting to see.
You know, I think the theory is closer you are to water, you tend to be more – I'm generalizing, but more open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
This is traditionally true historically because if you look at all the major cities
yeah.
in the world, it's usually close by water.
Yeah.
Paris, London, Tokyo, and on and on, you know, Berlin, all these things. I think one major city that I was kind of surprised it's not very close to water is Madrid, which is center of Spain. And the reason why people tend to be more open-minded because it's closer to transport goods and people by water
yeah.
because you didn't have, obviously you don't have planes, trains, automobile, whatnot. So when you have a places where San Francisco is another one where easy to transport people, then it's easy to transport different ideas, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the disadvantage you have in the landlocked area because they're not bad people. They're just more conservative.
It's harder to get to.
Yes. Another reason is the reason why farmers are conservative.
Mm-hmm.
If your lives are dependent on successful livestock and plants you're growing, you're not willing to take a new idea to grow your food because you do something new idea and your crop dies,
yeah.
then you will die with it. So that's why people are willing to take more risk or not take a risk depends on the environment you grow up, you know? So like when I meet farmers and stuff, I don't necessarily have a bad feelings, you know, they're just
yeah.
like they're just different.
Sense.
It's just like you can only be generous, depends on if you had a generous lifestyle or life, you know? And but yeah, I much prefer to visit places by the water because they tend to be more, generally speaking, more ideas. People more tolerant of different ideas, too, you know.
I want to share something with you guys. I'm sure you guys saw it in social media, but I guess now that you're bringing it up, we might as well just speak on it. There's this lady who was, like, I guess, in a Walmart, right? It was in New Haven or something.
Oh, well, she started calling that guy the N-word? Is that the one?
Yeah. Well, here it is.
I'm going to hear this.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, that was my personal video.
That was my personal, right? So this is gonna set the scene real quick before we play it.
What's the background? Why did she start doing that?
I have no idea. So everyone's waiting in line at a checkout, right? Yeah. And something happened. Maybe someone cut someone off. I don't even know the deal. I got to be honest. But this went viral. They're at.
I think she said she used to be a teacher too.
They're in East Haven, Connecticut. Yeah, and.
Connecticut of all places. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I don't really know too much about it, but obviously when it goes viral, it doesn't even matter. Everyone's just like condemning this woman, although she did use some crazy stuff. So it's these two black, I think it's a black couple. They may have had an argument with this white lady.
Yeah.
And here's what transpired.
Are they fighting?
So she tried to spit on them. So she made right before she said her last remark, she was like motioning, she was trying to.
Can I tell you something? If Trump saw it, he would probably say like, "What did those people do to force her to do that?"
Yeah. Let's bring it to the White House. Let's interview her.
Good people on both sides.
But what do you get? Like, so then, what do you think? What's the product of that? In your crazy travels.
Well, going up there, those people were all like hippies. So those are not these kind of people, I don't think. But, I mean, that's why I'm kind of sketched out, because I know that Gino has gone to, like, the South and shit. It's like, I don't really care to go that much.
I know you felt like the odd man out, always being the color person there.
Yeah.
Did you experience any racism?
I don't think so. I think maybe once, but not really. I don't think so. I think that it's more like... It's just a weird feeling. Be by yourself out there. Kind of.
It's a little opposite for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've lived here so long that I'm used to being the minority. So whenever I've been back.
But here?
No, but
here you're everyone's.
No, but what I'm saying is when I go back to Asia, I just feel weird now that everyone looks like me.
Right.
I'm more uncomfortable with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because. You get used to like, okay, I'm always the minority, whatever. It doesn't bother me, but it is very strange. Last time I was in Japan, beside the fact I was stepping on my stepmother's head. But beside that, but when I go back to Japan, like, wow, everybody looks like me, and it feels a little weird because I'm not used to it anymore.
Yeah. You know? Aren't you still taller than most of them there?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, things have changed. Like, especially when I was back 25 years ago, like, it was just like, wow, I really am tall.
Yeah.
But now, you know... I'm starting noticing more taller kids, you know. Yeah, and maybe you know when you when
were
I
were your parents tall?
No.
Why do you think you got so tall?
Radiation. My mother used to say because they fed me. You know the snapping turtles?
Yeah,
they're very dangerous, right?
You ate those?
They claim. So what you do is you put a piece of meat in front of snapping turtle and the head stick out and try to eat it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when you cut the head off. And the blood is gushing and you put a glass and get as many of those blood. And people drink them for healthy reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mom and my dad, I remember years ago, told me when I was a kid, like, yeah, we fed you that blood.
What?
No, seriously.
Do you drink it straight or you boil it or anything first?
I think straight because I was, I was literally like a baby or something. Wow. Yeah.
That's insane.
So that's why you grow so tall. Shit.
I guess so.
It could be.
Bring that over here.
For real.
That's cool that you did, you know, because stand-up is so different from touring, and you have advantage and disadvantage. Advantage is, even if they don't speak the language, they could feel music.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my disadvantage. But
it was
disadvantage is like you have to have so many more people, so they're potentially more problem, and you have to carry instrument and stuff. It's a lot of work.
Imagine we're in a stuffed van.
I mean, yeah, imagine you weren't in the band. That would be weird. It'd be like you get a pass because this guy's talented.
Oh yeah, yeah. You mean if I was just up there driving, like, or touring?
No, like you were just a normal person drinking a beer. And
I probably would not have been treated as well. I guess maybe
right. This is like, oh, this guy's the talent. I guess
I have to treat him good.
I guess we'll let you know.
I mean, it was also very strange because with Gino's band, he was like, he just likes to play a bunch of different stuff. So he had me know that I sang some songs in Spanish.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, let's do them. And so we would get to these places. It was just, and then some of them were just older white people. And he's like, let's play that Spanish stuff. And I'm like, are you sure?
I know your audience, bro.
Are you sure? He's like, yeah, play it. And we did. So it was kind of weird.
They didn't like it?
A lot of the places, you know, people hear it and they just want to pretend to dance salsa or whatever.
Sure.
And then, so they kind of just have fun with it. But then there was a couple spots where they were just like, just kind of confused. I could tell they were just like, what the fuck is this? Like,
yeah, it's,
they probably thought they were a little worried because they probably thought it was cartel music.
Cartel music.
What is the music they call it? Like, narco music or, what are they call in Spanish?
Norteño song? No. What's the one that you're talking about with the
I heard him in
gangster music.
Yeah, they're great. Like it's like some musician in Mexico got killed because he was playing at some cartel A's party and they're bashing cartel B through the music.
Oh, no.
So they got mad. So like I remember when like they killed a guy because
of course.
Well, I'm going to Mexico next on Friday. I'm going to San Felipe.
Where is that?
What?
That's like in Baja, Mexico. I think it's on the outside, I think.
Yeah.
Just for the weekend.
That's awesome.
Is it you and your girl going to go? Or is it
everyone's going. Everyone's bringing their girlfriends and stuff.
You driving down there? Or?
We're driving down there, which is pretty sketch because he said he's been there. He's played this one four.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, you mean it's a band thing?
It's the band. Yeah, the band's going to play in San Felipe Blues Festival or whatever. And he says he's driven there like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, I've done that too.
You've driven down there?
10 years ago. It was a little before the whole cartel shit, so I think it was all right. But even I was feel like, ooh, a little sketchy.
Well, what they told us that there's been a couple times where they've gone down there and there's just guys in plain clothes with machine guns blocking the road.
Yes.
And they just want whatever you can give them. So they would just have a bunch of like cold Gatorades and snacks and stuff, and then just when they pull them over, they're like, "Oh, here, you guys, it's hot day. Here's some Gatorade. Here's some snacks."
They don't take your instruments.
That's fucking. I guess not. He's done it. We're doing it again.
That's whack. He said, "Dude, I would take your instruments for the cartel." I'd be like, fucking bass.
I don't know. Are they cartel? I guess so. Who else has machine guns and plain clothes?
If you have machine guns, you win. That's it.
That's pretty fucked up, though.
So what?
It's a little sketch,
live?
I mean, if they wanted my fucking instruments, they could have it, I guess.
They want your fucking butthole? They get it, too.
I guess so.
we didn't even offer it, sir. All right, you can fuck me.
Okay, fuck me.
wait.
That's a tough one because even police really can't do anything if it's Mexican army, you know?
Yeah.
It's real sketchy, but we're going there on Friday.
Just fly over there, bro.
I don't know if you could. I mean, you could probably get closer, but
you can get closer, then you just get a rental car.
I don't think it's that far. It's like 4 hours past the border. So you go in through Mexicali.
So it's about 6.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, the first two are chill though.
You're taking passport, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you mean you get? You have one?
Yeah, I have one.
Oh, okay.
You need him now. I mean, you could get in, but it's, you know.
Can't get out.
I probably wouldn't get out.
I mean, you look like Mexico. I mean, you are.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you should take it.
Oh, I'm taking it for sure. And I'm going to fucking, don't kill me. I'm American.
They're like, oh, we're going to kill you because you are American. Fucking Trump with the wall, motherfucker.
That's great. I'm glad you're traveling. That's always, you know, even all the places I've ever been over the years. And like, that's the only thing that good about stand-up at my level, because there's no money for me. But
me either.
Well, the thing I'm hoping with, because this was a cool tour. It was fun. It was a good experience for sure.
Like you didn't lose money, did you?
No, because most of the places we stayed with were friends of the Gino. So it's like we stayed for free everywhere we went. We got one hotel in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And then we ate for free. A lot of the people fed us and stuff. That's great. So mostly I spent not that much money because I wasn't paying for gas or food most of the time anyway. Yeah. So I made money, but I probably could have made similar money here.
Yeah.
But I spent less probably because I was out there. So that's interesting.
It's great to see the country. I mean, it's so massive. And
the other cool thing, though, is that he has – he had a tour booked before I joined the band because I just joined this guy's band.
Yeah.
And he had a tour already booked to go to France.
So oh,
he's,
wow.
He's going to – they're going to France like in a couple months. And
any chance they could go?
Not on this – well, he tried to get me on this one, but it was just too late like because he sets those up like 6 months in advance.
Yeah.
So like it was already set. And then but, you know, he just got contacted. So he's probably going to go back to France next year. He'll probably have this one, same one. And then he just got contacted by this guy in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Because that guy, Sugar Ray Rayford, is still touring.
Yeah.
And he's been going to places. And they'd be going with this new guitar player who filled in for Gino.
Yeah.
And they're saying the new guy is, like, super whack, apparently. Mm. And he's like... he texted Gino out of nowhere and he's like, hey, Sugar Ray just played here and where were you? It's like the guitar player was not as good. And so there's a chance that, you know, we'll be going over there. Now that would be cool because if you go over there and just play a normal bar, it's still like 1,000 times more interesting because you're in Switzerland, France or whatever. And I've never been to Europe, so
you gotta go.
That would
man.
Be awesome.
You have to go because
and they pay more.
In Switzerland, it's the country is divided by, I don't know why, how, so we have states, obviously, United States, we have 50 states.
Yeah.
Switzerland's divided by a thing called canton, and I don't know how many cantons are there, but, you know, they have 4 official languages, which is interesting. Such a small country, you know, and,
French,
Italian, German, and, Romanji or whatever. It's almost like a gypsy language or something like that. But I've been to Basel and Geneva, but there was a funny airport. Oh, it's funny to me. I think it was in Basel. This airport, it's on the border of 3 countries. So it depends on which exit you go. You could literally get on in France or Switzerland or Germany.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you have to pay attention which exit you're taking.
Jeez.
And I hope you do it because – going to Europe is outstanding. I never get tired of it. I love going to different airports. And like, I'm just a weirdo when it comes to like, if somebody say I'm flying from this airport to this port, I usually could tell like, oh, did you take this airlines? You know, like I'm so obsessed about traveling and things like that. And I'd like going to different countries in Europe.
Have you been to all 50 states?
No, I think last count, I think I hit 41 or 42.
What's left?
A lot of the stuff in like north, like the Dakotas and stuff like that. Yeah.
Boring ass shit.
Wyoming. But I want to go. And eventually I'd like to go visit all the provinces in Canada as well, you know.
Mm.
And yeah, it makes me sad that people don't want to travel, you know. And everybody trying to do this thing where it's a mistake, in my opinion. They were saying, like, my husband and I, when we retire at 55 or whatever, we're going to go. But they're making huge assumption because you're assuming you both will be alive then.
Yeah.
You know? And like,
and healthy enough to go.
Yeah. And I met so many people traveling. They say, like, oh, I'm traveling, you know, but sadly, my husband or my wife passed away, you know. So you shouldn't take – average lifespan is quite long compared to what it was 100 years ago, but don't assume you're going to be around just because of that statistic. You could live longer or shorter too, you know.
You get hit by a bus, you can get cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
So I'm glad you should go.
Some of the guy on that we stayed with had cancer. Actually, like it was like a little mini cancer tour because every house that we stayed at, there was somebody with cancer.
What do you mean
was,
mini cancer? That's funny.
It was a mini.
A midget cancer?
Yeah. And somebody in Ashland, one of the people we stayed with, had cancer.
Yeah.
It was a cancer tour.
It was a cancer tour. Wow. And then in Eugene, we stayed with somebody. He had cancer. Right. Yeah. And then in Birkenfield, Oregon, so one of the guys there had cancer. Wow. It was like a little depressing.
Wow.
For you and the listeners, if you're planning to do a trip to Europe, I highly recommend a guy named Rick Steves.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen him.
RickSteves.com.
On the channel chat.
Yeah, he's on PBS all the time, and he's been traveling to Europe for the last almost 50 years, multiple times a year, and people that work for him travel to Europe all the time. So any Rick Steves guidebook to Europe, they are updated all the time. They'll tell you things like, if you have 3 days in Paris, these are things I recommend. And if you want to do these things, make a reservation so you don't waste your goddamn time waiting in line to get in. And Steve is the number one guy in terms of budget travel to Europe. Mm. And if you're visiting a particular city and you don't have a time to go buy a book or you don't want to spend the money on the book, you could put Rick Steve Paris, and there's a video clip for 20 minutes explaining to you how to have a great time in Paris. So if you're going to visit Europe, I highly recommend you do that. And also check wikitravel.com or org or whatever. And it's like Wikipedia except for travel. So if you put wikitravel Paris or Athens, it'll tell you basic information about Athens, how to get in, whether flying or taking a train in there, places to stay for cheap, places to eat, things to visit, and things like that. So you do your homework ahead of time, because going there, not doing your homework, it's not a good, you know, you only have X amount of time.
Yeah.
So for you to maximize your time, do your homework ahead of time. And Rick Steves always say, you don't have to spend $1 million to have a $1 million experience.
Oh, shit.
You could have a wonderful experience. And all the travel is based on how much time you have. And it could be revolve around things you're interested in. Mm-hmm. So since you're a musician, you could go music-oriented trip to different cities.
Yeah.
You know.
You need to tax write-off, too. No.
Yes.
No, you can. Because if you do anything...
Actually, it might be if I'm going on tour. 100%. It's a tax write-off, right?
If you go like music... Let's say there's such thing as... opera or a music museum. If you do any of those expense, that's write off for 100% sure.
Shit.
So I did it all the there time, never got in trouble. So you don't have to make money out of the music that you're doing, but it definitely could help you with income tax. Mm. And this is legal, and it's your right as American to do that. So take advantage of it, you know? So
everybody out there, take advantage of it. Also, I recommend Rachel Ray's $40 a day or what? No, sorry. but I think that's awesome, man, because it's like when you're out there, you need to have at least some sort of idea, you know, like do some research, not just Yoshi. You're the only dude who I know. You've done this for so long where you just go and show up and you get it. You know what I mean? Like you're probably a repeat visitor to most of these countries, but you know, I just feel that you're like, oh, I'm going to be going to Germany. I'm going to be going to Copenhagen. I'm going to be going to, and it just seems like you've been there a bunch. And
I mean, it is crazy the way I do things, you know, like, I just know, like, no matter, even if I don't have my money and even if I don't know anyone, I will go, you know, and like, it get kind of scary, you know, because one time I was in Europe, I'm literally like last $12 and I still got 9-10 more days to go and I have money, right? And it was one of those lucky times when my good friend Edwin San Juan, who does show in Vegas, I asked him to put $10 bet for me, right? And it was 8-game parlay. Like it's almost impossible to hit that, but sure enough, four parlays Saturday, four on Sunday. I hit all four on Saturday. And first game, football, I hit both of them. But it was too late because the time that I went to sleep, and like I didn't want to stay up all night being too nervous watching it, because if I don't make it, I'm just going to. So anyway, I went to bed next morning, and Edwin texts me and says, congratulations. And I still didn't believe it because I thought, oh, he's being a comic, just fucking with me.
Yeah.
But sure enough, I hit all eight, so that $10 becomes $1,500, you know?
Oh, my God.
So –
Jesus.
What were you going to do if that didn't happen?
I don't know, but I figure out. I don't know. But here's an example, like Woody Allen, used to say 80 or 90% of success in life is just showing up, even if you don't know anyone. if you just show up, something might happen, good or bad. Yeah. And a couple of convention I went, one of this porn convention I went, where meeting those people kind of help in long run. I remember 1 year, I have no money. So like what I used to do is like going to, because, you know, being Asian and look like Japanese back in those days, people just assume like you're a customer, you don't speak English. I used to go in like different fancy hotels, walk in the hotel room with the people with keys. I'm not even supposed to be on the elevator. And when ladies are cleaning the hotel room, I go in pretending like that's my room. I take a shower, and sometimes sometimes there's
that's smart.
You know, like, and when they ask me questions, I pretend like I didn't speak the language. But like, they're not going to ask too much question if you're like a Japanese person acting polite, whatever. So I should go in.
That's smart.
And sometimes you're not supposed to do
very
it.
Very sorry, man.
Yeah, sometimes I was desperate. So sometimes you're not supposed to do it. Like, I even ordered room service at that room, and they deliver, and like, you know, this is 20 years ago, you know, like I shouldn't have done it, but yeah. if you have to do something, you will figure out ways to survive.
That kind of gumption, in my opinion, I'm seeing less and less of it now. That kind of like, fuck it, we'll figure it out, we'll do it live.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that kind of attitude, I just don't really see that anymore. I think the internet has made it so well connected that I think people think that they know what it's like to be XYZ or wherever because of the internet. Because people are like, oh, I saw a YouTube video on Paris. I'm good. I don't think I need to go. You know what I mean? So I think it's interesting now where, you know, with travel and in general, the general motivation, I don't really see that. Maybe it's just me because maybe I'm older and I expect more from the youngsters.
But, yeah.
But honestly, dude, it's rare that I see a bright, like, you know, person who's like has common sense and is not always on their phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a bit annoying to me now. And I understand the phone is an amazing device, but it's like it's been sucking all our energy. And it's like, I don't think people really know how to, don't have ambitions, because it's like you can go anywhere you want on this phone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
People don't have like social skills because they haven't exercised how to talk to people.
Yeah.
And it's sad to see. But so like that kind of adventurous attitude, I don't really think that people nowadays, the youngsters are really.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. Two things. One, I hate this social media stuff. The way it really impacted me is, Jesus, man, like last couple years, I remember even like late last year when I was in Europe, brothels, most of these girls on cell phone, like I'm trying to figure out if they're working or trying to see how much it costs. Like they're so on phone. Like, are you working? You know, like so unprofessional on these prostitutes' part. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're on the fucking cell phone, whatever.
You have no
right?
standards.
Yeah. So that's one thing I noticed, something that I don't see anymore like 10, 12 years ago in those red light district. And two, it really is scary, because I turned 50 in a couple months and I have a lot of friends like, man, I love the way you live and you get to all those places, but it's like anything else. What's priority to you? You want to have a home, 3 or 4 different cars, mortgage,
sure,
retirement plan. So that's why
there's no money to travel.
Yeah. Like you make priorities, and me, it's scary living on couches and stuff, you know, like, believe me, like, Ernie, you were generous. You and Chris, your former roommate, you're kind enough to let me stay with you for almost 2 years off and on, like a couple of days here and there. But like, it's not fun to live that way. It's scary. Mm-hmm. But I made a priority. Like, travel is like the number one thing in my life. And so I'm not willing to give up, even if I don't have a job, you know? So like anything else, all my pot smoking friends, I don't judge them, but they always say like, I wish I could travel. Like, you could travel if you don't spend $300 a week or whatever you spend every week. You know, that's your priority. Yeah. I
go to the moon and back every night.
Yes.
Seen the world, bro.
I don't understand that stuff, but like, in me, at my age, things that really matter is like, of course, doing stand-up is always fun, but traveling, those West End and Broadway shows, those are like fucking my love, you know? Like, right. I have such a good time going to those things. And Money on the Hookers or whatnot, you know? And
sounds like you got your life figured out, bro.
But it's no, but I know, like 20 years from now, when I'm like pushing 70, it might be scary, but.
Are you still going to be doing it, you think?
I just don't. I just think it's not, there's no point of, there's quality really matters. And like, I don't want to live my 70s and 80s like, I don't know, not just doing anything. I mean, if I have to die at 70 because of the way I'm living, I'm okay with it, because what's the point of being so conservative and saving all those monies and like live 70s and 80s and 90s? Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. All, you know
not
what I mean?
Doing
like,
shit.
Yeah, so I'm okay with it. I don't have kids, and you know, this is the life that I chose to live, you know. Mm-hmm. And
right.
But I think a lot of people live. It's not like I'm like, I have no fears, but I think a lot of people live. They make decisions based on not on positive things, but out of fear.
Mm.
You know,
definitely. I think fear is a powerful thing if you let it, if you use it in the right way.
Yeah,
I think what's his name, Jimmy Iovine, right? He had that thing about fear. You can use it.
That's a music guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With the Dr. Dre.
That Dr. Dre. Yeah. He. So I mean, it's like you can use the fear and let it paralyze you, or you could channel that energy and to use it into something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, and these are type of skills that you learn just by going through the shit, by having ups and downs and figuring out what the fuck works for you. And I think that because we have this technology, and it's amazing. And honestly, I can think of the first time I saw a fucking iPhone, like how spectacular and amazing it was, like,
yes.
So on some real shit. Like, I remember some guy at a coffee shop had one, like, literally, like, the next day after they got released.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, dude. And he goes, all right. Like, he knew. Like, everyone who just, like, dude, just let me play with, let me fucking push some buttons. And it was the most amazing experience ever.
2007, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I was so fucking, like, just like, wow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Imagine that is the jumping off point for all the kids now. That's their Atari. That's their simple, you know what I mean? That's where their base is at. They don't know before. They don't know, you know what I mean? All they know is that, and that's their jumping off point.
But can I tell you something? You know what's interesting about whether it's Apple or Facebook and Google and all these guys?
Yeah.
You know what's really, really interesting about the guys who created those companies, how they treat their kids? They forbid their kids having an iPhone.
Really?
And, yes, because they know – in back of their heads, that their products are really not good for people. They know that, you know. And
I think they understand the magic behind it, because it's very, like I said, as a grown adult, seeing this, like I saw, like this device was just like, I was so fucking fascinated. Imagine what it can do for a little kid's mind, and what it does to that. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't. I can't.
But don't they, like, these kids are thinking faster than ever, though, because of these things.
True.
So but, isn't that a positive thing that's coming from it?
I don't think it's good, because it's called mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So people always make fun of me, like all the comedians, like, oh, he's the old man reading newspaper and things like that. But here's the thing. There's a massive difference when you read a newspaper in your hands versus newspaper articles on your phone, because it's a matter of time. They're going to interrupt you by messaging or emails, apps, and things like that. So when they do that, they distract you away from you focusing on things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your brain is weaker, because I think their attention spans are so short. You know, when you read the New York Times articles, and like that, for example, a good one was when they had like 6 or 7 page article about Trump family stealing money from the government through tax evasion, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to focus on that thing for like almost 40 minutes or not to read the whole thing. I think it's better for your mind to exert attention to one thing.
Focus,
you know. And I think younger and younger people don't have that. I don't think it's good. And two, many of the interesting discoveries, whether it's products or scientific ideas, I believe it comes through daydreaming, right? Like Einstein worked in Switzerland, I think, in Geneva, Switzerland, whatever. Like sometimes just sitting there on the chair thinking about it, or you'll let your mind float away like a cloud. Sometimes ideas will come to you. This is a fact with Isaac Newton and things like that. When you're on the phone all the time, they do not give you the time to have a daydreaming. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's really, really bad. And it's moments like that where you let your mind wander. It could be inspiration for your music. You know, so sounds popped in your head. A lyric comes to you, you know. Mm-hmm. Samuel Coolidge wrote a poem called Ancient Mariner, and this whole massive poem popped in his head. As he was writing, some fucking person walked in his train room mm-hmm. and kind of interrupted. He lost most of it. But these moments, what the Japanese in Zen Buddhism call satori, like a moment of clarity. These moments are really important. If you're on the phone all the time, you're depriving yourself of those experiences, you know? Sure. So I don't think it's good. And one of the reasons why I like theaters is because you put your cell phone away.
Yeah.
You watch the show. It's a communal thing where everybody's never in focus on one story. You know, I just watched on Saturday True West with Ethan Hawke and Paul Dano. It's incredible by Sam Shepard. And Sam Shepard said that many of the dissatisfaction and fear that Americans have in their lives in the 80s, There's all this trouble within a family because the two actors play brothers. All their problem manifests in one form, which is violence. So like many of Sam Shepard's plays have end with like horrendous violence. I mean, it was incredible when I saw this play on Saturday. But this is one time when people pay a lot of money. You sit down, become a one communal thing, watch this incredible play, right? Most people don't have that anymore. There's emails, phone calls, blah, 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 work, you know, so much distraction. We all need this moment when you have concentrated on something. And, you know, most people try to have when they sleep, have dreams too, but it's hard to do that too because binge watching, you know, sometimes if you watch like Breaking Bad, middle of the night,
Mad Men,
you sleep. And so you have this terrible, wonderful show, but terrible things happen in the story that simmer through your dream. You know what I mean? Give yourself some free time where outside force away from you. I think that's really important.
I agree with what you're just saying that maybe it could be helping, and I do agree with that. But as long as the focus of our lives based around human interaction, that skill is like I said, that's what it is. Like I like to talk to people, and when I see people, I try not to be too shy in general. But I understand why people are just like, oh, you know, they have their earbuds in or they listen to a podcast or listen to music, whatever. And you're just like, maybe there was a moment where you could have met somebody, maybe your future wife or your future ex-wife or something. You know what I mean? But whatever. But you miss out on that opportunity because they're in their own – there's not a moment for that. And because like it basically just hinders a lot of a human interaction.
Sure.
And that's what I've been seeing. Do I think it's completely bad? No, it's not completely bad. But I think because the pendulum's swinging so hard in the other way, because this is new, that everyone's like we don't really see the long term repercussions of all of how this is going to affect our brain. And I do think people are getting smarter, but like just like in moderation. That's the whole thing, but we don't know how much is too much yet. And then we'll see in the next, you know, few decades about the real harm of cell phone use and see if that radiation in your pocket is really causing cancer or is it just whatever. I don't know exactly because the jury's still out on it. There's not enough time has passed. Technology is moving so quickly. So it's hard. It's hard to do that.
2007 is such a critical time because I think what's going on in college and university when these kids are too sensitive, I think they grow up with like on the cell phone and like they don't have a real human interaction. So, you know, I went to Evergreen State College in the early 90s. Usually when there's a protest at college and university, it's usually professors persuading the student to protest. But now it's like Lord of the Flies, young people who have so little experience in life. Whenever any trigger words upset them, they want to start a protest. So then, like this, it really is mobs.
Yeah,
you know, with the free speech, it's been under assault by them. And you know, New Yorker have this New Yorker festival every year. And who was that guy? Used to be a friend of Trump, something Brennan or He was this like a mastermind conservative guy helping Trump win the election.
What's in his?
And
I was going to say Roger Sterling.
No, New Yorkers invited him, and too many of those show business Hollywood types protest so much, saying that if he's there, we're not going to be part of the show. So they dropped him, right?
Wow.
This is fucking disgraceful. Like, yeah. Dave Remnick, who is the editor for New Yorker, you know, he used to be a friend with Trump. Like, they kicked him out like a year after the fact. Why am I forgetting his name? He's like this.
Is Cheech or no?
He's a white-haired guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, not white-haired guy. But,
not the white-haired guy.
But he's like the mastermind. What's the website? Not InfoWar, but the other one that would start with a B. It's like all those conservative people are watching and listen to that show. But he started that. He was a big part of that show.
Oh, okay.
I'm really spacing that. Look, they kicked him out because what? Because Jared Apatow is not going to talk to you, or all the show business people want to talk to you. It's a wrong-headed way of approaching. You know, what's going on in the world, because if they think like that, then these are the same people who will probably say, like, don't interview Hitler because he's horrible. You know what? As a reporter, you're supposed to report things. You don't have to like that person. And guess what? When they interview Hitler, Winston Churchill heard about this guy and made him, like, we need to prepare for this guy.
Right.
So not talking to people, reaching out. Like, look, you don't have to agree with people. If somebody represents an idea that you don't agree with, you just talk to them. You know what I mean? Like, you show some, you still treat them with humanity and respect,
yeah,
just because you don't agree with them, you know? So this is something that Colin Quinn was talking about, like, liberal and conservative, they don't know how to talk to each other.
It's not Roger Stone, is it? No.
No,
I was thinking.
Yeah, it's not a Roger Stone, but he's the same level guy.
Right.
Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be on. You know how crazy it is for him to show up in New York City in a room full of liberal people?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't afraid for them to kick them out. It made him an even bigger hero to those conservative times.
Well, this is-
Sometimes he might reveal things that you didn't know about Trump. So for the fact that those little bunch of fucking sissies crying about him being part of the show, you really was disservice to the whole thing. Yeah.
That's what Bill Maher says every time he has a Republican on. He's like, oh, thank you for coming,
because yes, you're
coming into the lion's den. And
yes, fucking,
and he start, and he's lately he's been like going against Democrats and saying, like, you're fucking pussies.
They're attacking free speech.
But not just that, but they're all the liberal politicians, they don't go on Fox News. And he's calling them, like, you need to go on there because that's where the people that you may potentially reach are there.
Yes.
You're already talking to, you're just talking to yourself on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow. And the Democratic Party just refused to do a debate on Fox News.
Right.
And he's just saying, like, why the fuck are you doing that? Because you're not helping yourself. You're just talking. You're just spinning in circles, jerking yourself off.
You're just basically talking to people that like and agree with you.
Yeah.
But that doesn't do no one any good.
Yeah.
The whole point is going to people that normally you don't associate and you don't agree with and reach out, you know. So that's why I don't like. So, like, I don't get mad, like, somebody saying racist stuff about Asian people like that, because I don't like censoring people. Plus, maybe sometimes the people who doesn't like Asian people might actually have a good point.
They can't drive.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to take it a little bit back. I was going to bring this point up earlier, so we kind of almost on a teetering on the politics.
Yeah.
So we're talking about technology and the overuse of technology. And I want you guys' take on this. Elon Musk has Neuralink. And you know about this company?
No, I don't know what that is.
So the company is basically, it's a chip that goes inside your brain.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen Elon Musk's interview on Rogan?
No, I haven't.
I saw most of it.
Yeah, so he's basically
smoking weed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a really cool interview. I'm Rogan's, of course, a genius for sure. I'm not taking that away from it. I don't watch a show often. I don't see a show.
There's just too long and too many of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's people who just sit in desks and listen. Like, thank you for listening, by the way, to our show.
Yeah. You know what? Stop listening to podcasts.
Go to Rogan. he needs help. He needs more listeners. No, but he had him on. He was, and Elon Musk was talking about how we're already cyborgs, right?
Yeah.
We have because we're
like so another simulation world, right?
Yeah. You're saying that we're
similar. No, but he's saying, yeah, because we have
cell phones.
Cell phones. Yeah. It's basically an extension of us at this point.
Yes. So he wants to take it a step further. And with Neuralink, right, he wants to essentially, before AI gets out of control, because it's already out of control, we're limited, according to Elon Musk in the interview, he says we're limited by our bandwidth. Our technology is not fast enough for how fast artificial intelligence is moving.
Right.
So it's actually out of control in the internet space. But because of our bandwidth, we're limited on how much information.
We can't even use it as fast as the computers can use it.
Exactly. Right. And it's getting better. So imagine it's something on a side note. Imagine if a computer can see all of the internet.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane.
You're fucking Neo over there, bro.
So, in any case, Elon Musk said instead of them taking over and it being like this big, like, epic movie of, like, Terminator or some shit, he goes, what if we start to implement and start being one with that and start being included? So he created Neuralink, which is essentially merges your brain with the computer. So it merges them too.
He's basically saying if you can't beat them, join them.
Yes. So they're going to put a chip in our brains where essentially you can download your whole life brain into the computer. You might even also have the chance, like when you pass away, when you die, to live, like, because we're online already. All your friends are on Facebook. All your friends are on Instagram. All your friends are. So it will give you a chance to like have a simulation where you don't die. You just live in this world, right?
Somebody told me a couple days ago. Somebody told me.
Why? How is it fucked up? You do it every day already.
Somebody told me a couple days ago that with some algorithm, they could figure out through everything they've written on you. Social media could figure out if you're a sociopath or not. Ooh. Or a good person or not. That's really interesting.
Really?
China's already doing that. What they're doing is literally moral credit report. Like all the things you've written down could figure out if you're a good or bad person. Like, can you imagine that?
Would you get this brain merge implant chip thing? Are you open to it? Do you think it's dumb? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad?
I wouldn't do it, but you wouldn't do it?
You should do it. I mean, I'd be definitely curious to see what would happen when somebody did it. I don't know if I would want to be the first.
Yeah.
Right.
I would be the second.
Yes. For the same reason you get LASIK, let the technology
Let it settle.
Yeah. let it really kind of get down to a 99 and I.
So you wouldn't do this, but you do all of the other trials of stuff. Well, just one more trial.
It's interesting.
What if they were paying?
I've done all kinds of medication, but I have never done anything related to mind or antidepressant stuff. I don't want to do any of that stuff.
Oh, okay.
I will never touch that. And plus, anyone who does medical or those mental stuff, they always still don't do it 2 studies in a row. And 2, they put this really goofy shit on your head all the time. I don't want to do that. You could put it on my chest and my heart or whatever, but I don't want to do that. So, I know we're running out of time, but anybody who's listening to this show, I saw Fleabag, the play by Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, I bought the ticket 2 months ago, $99 for third or fourth role. At the time, I was like, God damn, that's really expensive. The fucking tickets are going between $800 to up to $1,400, $1,500. The room is like whole, like 178, 80. But I wish I would have bought more tickets so I could have sold them for higher.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was phenomenal show. And if you don't have an opportunity to buy the ticket to see it, I highly recommend watching Fleabag on Amazon season 1, because basically episode 1 and last episode.
Is it the same story as the
show? Yeah, it's basically, the play is basically the first and the last episode of season 1. But I'm glad I saw it. I met her briefly after the show. I love the show and highly, highly recommend, because I've been going to shows in New York City for Broadway show for the last 5 or 6 years. Amazing. Meaningful. Get rush tickets. So you're standing in line before the box office open every day, hour and a half, 2 hours before. You could get many of those $200 tickets for $40 if you
go. Great.
Yeah. And so to me, Broadway shows in New York and West End in London, it's the most meaningful, intimate thing you could do for yourself. Well, besides getting a hooker. And
the second meaningful.
And I love those fucking shows. So another great show was What Constitution Means to Me by Heidi Schreck. Man, I saw two nights in a row, Rush tickets. It's fucking incredible shows. I saw Gary. I saw Bimo Chill, the musical, one of the hottest musical in New York City. Mm-hmm. And Hurricane Diane, another one I saw. Yeah, I love going to New York City to do shows, hang out with my friends, but watch shows. And I think people should do it. And if you want to get cheap tickets, go to TodayTix app or BroadwayShowForBrokePeople.com.
Very nice.
Yeah, I like put that. It out on Front Street.
I want to speak on one thing before we end the show. Mm-hmm. And
wait, I would still. Were you going to do the Neuralink?
Oh yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, definitely would wait for sure. But I would just want to try it out. I don't know if I'd opt to live my life online. I think when I die, I just want to die. Like, I like the mortality.
That's the creepy part to me. That you would live forever on basically some sort of social media existence where
you don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
So why would you? How do you even?
I thought that's what you kind of said. It was like going to be like,
no, but you don't know what that's going to feel like or what that's going to be. Maybe you're in The Sims and there's a bunch of like other avatars. Well, like, hey, what up?
I was kind of imagining like you're in there, right? And you can still see what's going on.
Yeah.
With live people.
Yeah, well, you see that through their activity. Like,
that's kind of crazy.
You're like, say, for example, I mean,
you're beyond crazy.
I mean, like
you're like say that you opt to download your brain into the fucking into the Matrix, whatever, right?
You can see the fucking Broadway play on the fucking dead.
You're right. So then you can see like your grand grandson, whatever, down the road.
Can you still talk to them? You think?
Yeah, like, hey, what's up,
grand? Cinnamon, like, yeah, I am.
That's what I'm saying. So you'd still be able to see his activity. He posts the wall. It says birthday. Send happy birthday to him.
That's kind of creepy, dude. Yeah, you're it just going to have your fucking great-great-great-grandparents just talking to you.
Dude, this is the...
It's like, hey, son, don't do that. Hey, that's kind of... I don't know. I'm torn on it because then it's like all this idea of like, oh, I want to talk to my ancestors. You can actually talk to them because they're still around on the internet.
Son? What up?
And I had this conversation a couple of days ago. And as we speak right now, a child is born someplace on the planet, going to live 150 and 200 years. Think about that for a moment. It's not inconceivable.
That means in their life, we're going to have to figure out something.
Well, I mean, I'll be dead, but...
or...
Because, you know, you go back 150, 200 years ago, average age is probably like in the early 40s, you know? So for them to imagine that people are
50 actually, years ago?
Huh?
No.
No, 150, 200 years
ago. 200 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know? So for them to see like some Japanese people living like 116 years, it's like inconceivable.
Yeah.
But someone be born today, it wouldn't be that difficult to think 100, 150, pushing 200 years because advance in biology, you know? And,
but at a certain point, what is your life like? I mean, once you get up to like 95, what's really going on?
See,
then you just got another fucking 15, 20 years.
How do you know we're not currently in like a, like, cause maybe the experience.
They replace your heart. They replace your fingers. They, you know, so,
I'm going to get fingered.
So there was this Greek, I don't remember his name, but this Greek philosopher had an interesting question. So imagine a giant ship leaving the port of Athens, right?
Yeah.
And it's gone for like a year.
Yeah.
Every day that ship replaced one piece, different piece every day of that ship. So by the time that ship returned to Athens, it replaced every single part of that ship. Now it's the same ship, but every piece has been replaced.
Yeah.
Is that the same ship?
Mm.
So like for you,
let's say yes.
So the essence of that ship is true. But imagine next in 30, 40 years from now, how old are you?
I'm 28.
Okay, so
you're 29, my bad.
So you're gonna outlive me, obviously, unless you get murdered.
Whoa.
Mexican style.
when you go to Mexico on Friday.
But let's say you get to the point like 30, 40, 50 years down the road when they have this new technology where, okay, I'm replacing my right hand. Next year, I'm replacing my left hand. And then I'm replacing my eye to the point where they've replaced every single part of your body. Mm-hmm. You are still the same person because your mind is the same. But
you got a big old dick now.
You're literally different person. right? Yeah. Like physically, you're different.
Yeah.
So I don't think inconceivable by the time you hit 80, 90, where you replace everything, where you have a 25-year-old heart. You know, your brain is different, but the soul is same.
But when are we just going to run out of space if we start doing this?
Never.
Never?
You know what?
We're going to be on another planet
It's going to be like another universe. It keeps on expanding.
So,
just like the universe.
What are you talking about?
Chichi, you know.
The universe is expanding. The universe.
Yeah, but what about the Earth where the people are?
71 years from now, you might have another 51 years to go because they've replaced everything. You're healthy.
Yeah.
God, I hope so.
So
that's what I'm banking on.
So the limit, whatever the
divorce rates are going to skyrocket.
Whatever the limit we might have today, it might be completely limited by the time you're 100 years old.
Divorce is not even going to be like marriage is not even a thing anymore.
I think it'll be like for you have to re up for losers every year.
Yeah,
you're like, you still want this?
Yeah, I like that. Yosh, we're gonna. Can you come stay for the Friday episode?
Another little episode we do on Fridays.
I'm leaving
right now,
late Wednesday. So I'll come back next Wednesday.
Okay. Oh, well, okay, I mean, cool.
But we're gonna do one more right after this.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Can you stick?
Yeah, I could stay.
Cool.
Like a half hour.
I need to eat something for lunch or something.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. Okay, cool. So let everyone know where they can find you, Yoshi.
One last thing. Yoshi Obayashi at Twitter and Instagram. YOSHIOBASHI. So Yoshi Obayashi at Twitter or Instagram. Mm. But one last thing. I came back last Monday to see Brody Stevens Memorial.
That's right.
I want everybody to go Craig Gass, C-R-A-I-G, last name G-A-S-S. Go to his Facebook account. There is a video clip of his and my friend Tana Manu, T-E-I-N-A, last name Manu, M-A-N-U. He gave this incredible fucking speech for Brody for 60 minutes. It will fucking move you.
Wow.
Because there's a couple of phrases, things that he said where you could hear in the background, people start
sobbing,
almost like the kind of shriek when you hear in Greek tragedy.
Right.
And Tana gave this incredible speech, and it will fucking put you in tears, you know, because you could really fucking hear it. Yeah. And Tana and I, we're working on something, so... But it was a wonderful tribute Tana gave to Brody. And it's almost like when Mark Anthony gives speech, when Julius Caesar's funeral speech. And if you ever want to know what it is to give a speech for somebody you care and love, listen to Tana Manu on Craig Gass's Facebook. I mean, it was really powerful. Hmm. And a lot of the people from Hangover were there. John Hamm was there. Zach Galifianakis. But really, really, man, especially when he gives speech about Brody and his dad, oh, my God, you could really feel people in pain.
Wow. Hmm. Wow. Well, go check it out. You said it's on his Facebook page?
Craig Gass's
Facebook. There's a video clip of Tana giving the speech for Brody.
It's amazing. All right, guys. We'll see you guys on Friday. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, and tell your friends. It's good having the crew back. We'll talk a little bit more about...
we got to talk about last week. Those fire episodes, bro.
Shut up. All right, we'll talk later. All right, later.